swept technique. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I gave your daughter coffee. Hope that's okay. Hope that's all right. I think it would help her fever.
Nope, she doesn't have a fever anymore.
How old is she now?
4.
Yeah, she would be good for, right? A coffee never hurt no one.
Of my two kids, Tuffing that's the kid that's going to go, yeah, I'll try it.
Oh, really?
Oh, the other one eats about 5 things total.
She's picky.
Oh, man.
What would Dusty Baker do? What would Dusty do to boost this team, to boost this club? Joe Espada's lineup today is different. There's one thing that okay, stop it. There's no Martin Maldonado on this team. There's one thing that I hate about today's lineup, and there's actually one thing that I like, and you alluded to the thing that I like. I hate the fact that Abreu's not playing today. And what are you smoking, Branham? He's hitting 065. You're trying to DFA him. You brought up a GoFundMe to get Jose Abreu out of town. You did a quirky TikTok at Jeremy J. Branham on TikTok.
Now banned.
Yeah. What?
You didn't hear that TikTok got banned?
No, it didn't get banned.
Yeah.
It's in Congress. They're giving that company an opportunity to sell, and if they don't sell in like 9 months,
I don't know, man.
They're going to get around it.
You join
they're
TikTok, and then weeks later, it's on the show.
I read
to get banned.
It's not going to get banned.
I'm blaming you for this.
In legislation that it could be banned if they don't sell the company in like 9 months. They're going to sell the company. You know how much money TikTok does for the U.S. government? $5 billion a year. They're going to figure out a way for TikTok to be around in U.S. of A.
$5 billion.
They'll figure it out. Okay. They'll figure it out. TikTok's going nowhere.
Your fault.
At Jeremy J. Branham.
Your fault.
But yeah, I did a Sarah McLachlan. Save a dollar or save a dog, save a Jose Abreu. What are you smoking, Branham? You want Abreu in the lineup? Yeah. Yeah. If you're not going to DFA him, he should be in the lineup a day after he's finally hitting the ball hard. What are you telling him? Oh, I'm going to hit the ball hard and then I get my benched? What does that say? What is that? That's terrible from a spotter. Dusty would never do that.
You know what? The other reason why he should be in the lineup? Because they did this with someone last year. Corey Jolks, when he started to deteriorate, Corey Jolks was getting credit for hitting a lot of hard-hit baseballs, and he found his way into the lineup more consistently, no matter how bad his average was, because he was barreling up baseballs.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I don't like. He should absolutely be in this lineup. And I'm actually mad at Espada. I actually saw this coming. Let me go pull up my Twitter at Jeremy Branham. I know how that could be confusing. When did I tweet this earlier today? Let's see. When did I say that Joe Espada should be playing Jose Abreu? Here, I tweeted this out at 11:11 a.m. I said, Jose Abreu should be in the lineup tonight. Yesterday was his best day at the plate all year. He hit the ball hard twice. I will be disappointed with Espada if Abreu isn't in the lineup tonight, sincerely. Not in the lineup tonight. I'm mad at Joe Espada. Joe Espada is in my doghouse. Managers and coaches have doghouses all the time. Well, Joe Espada is in my doghouse for not playing Jose Abreu.
Well, you would think, too, that with Bagwell working with him constantly and all these guys that are so hyper-focused on Jose Abreu, we weren't the only ones that saw this. I mean, it was tough to stomach the rest of the game after the first inning. But for everybody that watched long enough to realize that he was hitting the baseball, I mean, he was putting screw how hard he was hitting the bat. He was putting bat to baseball instead of swinging and missing. That's a positive at this point.
Yeah, like Dusty Baker, what would Dusty do? The segment here, 713-780-3776. Dusty's going to look at his eyes and see a guy's hitting the ball hard, especially a struggling guy, and get him right back out there the next day.
In the 5-hole.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like, probably where
he's
going.
Let's find a happy medium. Yes. Let's put him in the 8 spot.
Okay, fine.
you can get 3 plate appearances, but you're going to be in the 8 spot. The one thing that I do like today, though, I actually like Bregman in the 2 spot. Because let's keep in mind, this is a marathon. This is a 162-game season. We talked about this a little bit on Monday. The Astros aren't going to be a playoff-caliber team, a World Series-caliber team. They might not already be that. But they're certainly not going to be that if Alex Bregman is hitting .202 the entire season and his OPS is .550. You have to get Alex Bregman kickstarted. You have to get him going. You can't be like, here you go, Bregman, you're going to bat ninth, and then he's awful all year. You must get Alex Bregman going. I think it's tough with him in the cleanup spot right now because he's pressing. He's not knocking in runs. I think he's trying to do too much. He's looking for an eight-run homer when he's the only guy on base. There's nobody on base. So the best way to get Bregman going, and this is actually something that Dusty Baker would do all the time. Okay, we need to get a guy hot because we know we need this guy. Yuli Gurriel struggling a few years ago. We need this guy. We're going to bat him second in front of Yordan Alvarez. Jeremy Pena, we need to get this rookie going. And then all of a sudden, he's the ALCS and World Series MVP. We need to get him going. How do you do that? You bat him second. Astros absolutely need, I know we're banging on Bregman, and his salsa's terrible, and he's batting about as good as his salsa. All of that is right. But Alex Bregman has to be good for the Astros to be good, and the best way to get Alex Bregman going is by batting him in front of Yordan Alvarez. I actually like that from Joe Espada.
Well, the reason why I question it is because he is scuffling so badly. His average is terrible, but the only logic I could find in it, other than the logic you already gave about, you know, giving him better pitches to hit, is the fact that maybe this is the kind of psychological thing he needs to realize. In this spot in the lineup, what my team really needs me to do is stop swinging for the fences. Go back to being the guy that's got a precision eye at the plate, mm-hmm. that can go the other way with two strikes, that can get a base hit just with runners in scoring position instead of trying to get a two or three bagger to try and go clear the bases. Do the kind of things that have made you Alex Bregman for the Houston Astros over the last 7 years. That's what you need to do. That's what we need you to do. And whether it's right for your agent and your free agency coming up or not, completely should not matter at this point, because no matter what you're trying to do, betting on yourself, you're losing money every single day.
Yeah. 60-30, he says. I want Jerry Crane. He does. Listens to us every day. I want Jerry Crane to sell the team. His hiring buddies are enjoying the time. He's no longer concerned with really trying to keep the team a powerhouse. Braves, Dodgers, true powerhouses. Wheatstraw says, someone get Joe Espada a toothpick. Hey.
And some wristband.
Hey, let's do it. Maybe it's going to bring some wins to the team. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Doug, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's going on, Doug?
So what's it going to take to get these guys to put Mauricio Dubon in the lineup on a regular basis? This is ridiculous.
Appreciate the call,
That's
Doug.
That's got the third best batting average on the team. Mm-hmm. He's the third most RBI player on the team, and yet he's on the bench again. Hell, put him at first base.
I like that idea. Now, Abreu would have been my first baseman today, but I like the idea of Dubon at first base. Jake Myers against righties is questionable. Like, this is another kind of border. Like, this is actually anti-analytics again. Like, why is Jake Myers playing center field today? Well, Jake Myers playing center field today because he hit a home run yesterday.
That's the only reason why they're banking on it.
But he hit a home run yesterday off a lefty.
Right.
Today, that's guys are saying. Righty.
This makes all the sense in the world to put Dubon where he has been doing everything you need somebody, even if you don't want him to, because he has value as the utility guy. Uh-huh. He has basically earned the right to be the starting center fielder, if not all the time, at least in a situation against righties.
I would agree with the righty part of it. I like Myers in center field. His defense plays. He's the best defensive center fielder you have on this team. And, again, against lefties, he'd be in center field every single day for me. Now, Dubon does – it's weird, too, because another thing I tweeted – I don't think that Joe Espada really backs up the words that he says. He said, well, Jake Myers, everyday center field. That was actually Dana Brown. Joe Espada kind of echoed those things start of spring training. He hasn't been your everyday center fielder. He said the other day, I think it was on Saturday, either Friday, Saturday of the Washington series, well, we're going to get Mauricio Dubon more at bats. Wasn't in the lineup on Sunday. Wasn't in the lineup yesterday. Not in the lineup today. So, okay, you're saying one thing and then you're doing another.
I don't put a lot of the blame on him. There's no way for me to actually 100% verify this, but it's kind of the feeling I've gotten with Espada and with Dana Brown, where they're put in these spots where they say things and they'd like to do it, but then the Jim Crane and the panel of ex-players that report to him say another thing, and then they have to go with whatever that front office group says.
I think that's in the range of possibilities to be true. So that's a fair point. That's not one that I have much pushback on. But I agree with Doug. I would like Dubon to play a little bit more, especially while he's swinging a pretty good bat. I do think that Dubon's offensive game can be a little bit overrated at times, not currently. I feel that a lot of baseball people overrate touching the baseball. Mauricio Dubon's really good at touching the baseball. Mauricio Dubon's really good at putting the bat on the ball. Doesn't walk much, doesn't slug much. But with what you have right now, it's better than Jose Abreu. It's better than Jake Myers against righties. Probably better than Alex Bregman, but you're not benching Alex Bregman. Sometimes we overrate contact, but with what the Astros currently have, I do not disagree with what Doug had to say.
The biggest thing right now, because you're scuffling so badly, is to find anybody that is somewhat hot or somewhat effective offensively and find a way to put him in the lineup. It doesn't have to be in the same spot every day, but in this case, everything lends itself to him being in the lineup today, and he's not in the lineup today. I've been saying all along this Crane gang is dominant, and it's a puppet show for not only Joe Espada, but it's seemingly more and more like Dana Brown, too. Like, they're not going to have their jobs for longer, but they're going to play the game long enough so that they can find a peaceful existence with Jim Crane because they know that they're walking on eggshells every day. But unfortunately, right now, everything that we see, no matter what we will ever know, based on what Reggie Jackson told us and just the actions of the organization, tell me that neither guy is either. Both guys are powerless. Both guys have been neutered, and both guys only walk to the beat of whatever Jim Crane is playing.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You know this has been neutered. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. 713. I can't say it. It's off topic. It sounds like I'm taking a cheap shot. I'm not going to. It's Bush League by me. 713.
You'll tell us during the break.
What's that?
You'll tell us during the break.
Yeah, of course. 713. I'll tell it to the Twitch, too. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Willie, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Willie?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. The last caller stole my take, but I like to say that I like Doobie to play because if Jake throws somebody out, get an outfield assist, it'll be the first time. And the problem with the Astros is not hitting with runners in scoring position.
Yep.
And Doobie is 8 for 13. I think contact is real important. I think it needs
it depends. It depends. Appreciate the call. It depends. Like, if you have a runner at third base less than two outs, like, contact there matters. Although, what is contact? Is it a weak ground ball back to the pitcher that doesn't score the run? Is it a weak pop fly on the infield? Like, it also, contact, we always... Contacts at times can also hurt you. You got a runner at first base, one out, you're hitting weak ground balls all the time, you're out of the inning. So, like, does contact matter? Yes, contact matters. I think that sometimes we overrate it. Now, the situation comes into mind whenever you're talking about the contact. But to Willie's point, I agree. I do think that Dubon should be in the lineup more because of how your roster is currently constructed. He's the one that's swinging a pretty good bat right now, where you have some other guys that are scuffling. I would just play. I mean, I would play Dubon at first base most days. Not today,
I would love that.
But most days.
Because I think that the one thing, that it's the kind of contact that matters too. Because we've seen too many times this year with a runner at third base and less than two outs, they can't even get the fly ball, or if they do, it's a pop up on the infield. It's not deep enough to score the run. And even in cases where they were looking at putting a crooked number on the board, they've already scored a run. They've got first and third. And I forget the last time it was against Washington. They made a pitching change. They had first and third. They had scored a run. They looked like they were primed for a big inning. Before you know it, there's a two outs just like that. None of the run scores. And you look at it going, well, there was another massive missed opportunity. No matter what, sure, they got one runner in, but that was not nearly what the script said you were going to get out of that inning.
Yeah, they've been bad at that game in particular. They were poor at tacking on runs when they had opportunity to tack on runs. And it's little things like that that come back to bite you. You're up 2-3 runs. You have a runner at third, less than two outs. And instead of driving in another run that puts the game out of reach, you get a blown save in the ninth. You look back, well, if we score a run there, we probably win this game, et cetera, et cetera. And it's been a long list of what can go wrong, will go wrong with the Astros, and that's what they've experienced.
Well, we talked about insurance policies before the season started, with you and I both clamoring for a left-handed bat and maybe at least one outside.
No, I wanted left-handed bat.
Yeah, left-handed bat, and maybe one more arm in the bullpen.
Two,
but we didn't want to go overzealous, but yeah, it would have been nice. But instead, we're talking about insurance now because they didn't have the bench players, they didn't have the kind of things. But insurance runs in a ballgame matter. And they've missed several opportunities this year to get that late run insurance policy that would have given them that security blanket you're speaking of, that in years past they would have gotten. They would have found a way to manufacture that run across the plate to get that one extra cushion that they needed. They're not getting those, and it's coming back to bite them in the butt over and over again.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. That guy texted earlier with the hat, Killer Bee. You're right. It was the brick red. Okay. Good looking hat there. 8437 had to keep Dubon rested up so they can be Verlander's personal center fielder tomorrow.
It's true.
I found some things that contradict that. I think it's more of a Dusty thing in a spot that has borrowed it from Dusty.
But it's going to happen.
That's probably the truth.
Yeah.
That's probably how it happens. Maybe we have an argument there, but the truth ultimately is the same.
As much as we had tongue-in-cheek going, oh, the personal center, it's a fact.
But it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what the backstory is. We've just come to believe it's going to happen.
8089, Dubon at first, rest of the year, cut Singleton and Abreu, add Brandon Belt. I'm sold.
Done.
I'm in. I'm
there's
in.
Now three guys that are a possibility to add to this team.
We'll get to the
depending
other
on, yeah, depending
we'll
on how, I know, depending on how much money you want to spend.
The yeah,
but we've brought up multiples that they're obviously not interested in exploring right now.
The if and again, I'm just gonna say it one more last time because I'm mad and I'm over caffeinated. If you're not going to cut Jose Abreu, he must be in the lineup a day after he squares up two baseballs and finds a barrel. If you're not going to do it, then you need to get his butt off of this team and bite the bullet. The whole sunk cost fallacy. Yes, you've spent a lot of money on Jose Abreu. I understand you as the person who spent the money is going to be more reluctant than us, the ones that did not spend the money. But is Jose Abreu more valuable to this team sitting on his couch or being one of your 26 guys in the big league roster? Jose Abreu, again, on pace to be the worst position player in Major League Baseball history by a substantial amount.
The thing that I don't understand either is we always keep saying, and you hear everybody saying over and over, Jim Crane's a baseball guy. Jim Crane's played baseball his whole life. Jim Crane's a baseball guy. You know he's watching the team. You know he saw what Abreu did last night. And if they are truly just puppets or they're being manipulated by the Crane gang on a daily basis, whether it's Dana and or Joe Espada, and this is the decision being made, you would think Crane's picking up his cell phone going, whoa, 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 whoa. I got to have Abreu in the lineup tonight because of what we saw last night. There was the glimmer of hope, and we thought it was completely dead.
And then the opposite point of that, like Crane, how did he get his money? He's a really good businessman. You would think that he would be all in favor or know at least about sunk cost fallacy. You think that he would know that and all of the economics that he's experienced in his entire life. 713-780-ESPN. Speaking of that front office, because I think Jim Crane's playing general manager, they have seemingly lost the respect from baseball executives. We'll tell you what we mean when we come back. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know who's gained the respect of everybody in the basketball business? Pro Dunk Hoops. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. They have the best goals in the planet. They're not those cheap goals in the big box stores. You see them in your neighborhood. They're messed up. They're jacked up. They're broken. The rim's not level. The backboard has a hole in it. Sometimes they're not even upright anymore. They're laying flat on their belly. Well, the goals from Pro Dunk make the highest quality goals you'll find, unlike anything in those big box stores. Tempered glass backboard gives you a true feel off the glass, some authentic feel and touch whenever you try to bank a shot in, lay one up, or even the rims. Breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware, rust proof, which is critical in Houston. We all know that. And it's height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. And if you get their new goal, 4, you can raise and lower these goals with a drill. Lightning adjust feature. It's simple, 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. It's idiot-proof for people like me. Their accessories are next level as well. LED light kits for night play. You probably need that, right? If you work, unlike our Twitchers, if you have a job, most of our listeners do, unless you're the Twitchers, you can't play during the day because you're at work during the day. Your kids are at school during the day. So you need these LED light kits for night play. Well, get one of those. They have it there at Pro Dunk. Backstop nets. You don't have to chase the basketball all around. Pull pad lettering. Lots more. And my favorite feature, you can order professional installation online. You're too busy. Quite frankly, maybe you're not capable. Well, the pros at Pro Dunk will professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. Don't worry about this big box with 125 different parts that you have to figure out how it all goes together. No, let the pros at Pro Dunk do all of the work for you. Give them a call now, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. I'm such a troll. I tagged Jeremy Booth in this lineup. I said, do we all owe Jeremy Booth an apology?
It is like kind of what he said yesterday.
He called himself a prophet, which... Who might argue?
Putting Bregman second was his idea to get him going and to lengthen the lineups, like separate out your automatic outs and your good hitters. It's kind of what he said.
I actually like Bregman second. They need to get him going. Now he gets Jordan protection. Do we need to apologize to add Jeremy Booth? He said, I'll leave that to you because apologies don't matter much, but a couple of these cats out here need to check the scoreboard. Been 7 years this, and I quote some coach, I might be a prophet. Prophet Booth. What do you think?
Cats or pumpkins?
Do we think that has a ring to it? Prophet Booth?
Sure.
For his sake, I hope the Astros don't get shut out tonight. It's probably a little too early to dunk, but if they score 10, let's do it.
I was going to say, if they put up a big crooked number, there's going to be a lot of people taking a victory lap.
Or Bregman strikes out the end of the game with Yordan on deck.
That would be worst case scenario. Best case scenario, they score 10, they win 10-3. Worst case scenario, they lose 1-0, and Alex Bregman with runners at first and second, or second and third, strikes out, or just gets out with Yordan waiting in the on-deck circle. That would be worst-case scenario.
That would be absolute worst-case scenario.
What an interesting storyline now going
and
into tonight's
Singleton
game.
And John Singleton going 0-for with not putting a bat to baseball wouldn't be great either.
That's like a secondary storyline that's like my little nuance thing. Like, that's definitely nuance, but it's definitely my thing tonight.
We've kind of ignored something else that stands out with this lineup today because we've been focusing on Bregman and Abreu, but Pena's up at sixth.
That's not outrageous.
No, I'm not saying it's outrageous. It just was unexpected. At least for me. Maybe
hit
you guys
six
just
a few times.
I thought
this year.
He did too.
I mean, how many times has he hit six?
He's hit six four of the last five games.
Okay, all right. Maybe I haven't.
And the one time he didn't hit six, he hit fifth.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so he's been in the top six in the lineup at least the last five games. I mean, it might go even back further than that. I just pulled up the first five games for Jeremy Pena. Let's pull up the rest of them here real quick.
I don't necessarily like that placement, though. Yeah, I kind of like him either being top of the lineup or end of the lineup to where you're more in a position to either be protected by Yordan or be, especially while he's hitting well, be a guy that can get on base right in front of Altuve.
Yeah, but he's been hitting well, and he deserves to be ahead of the other guys. And he's going to have more RBI opportunities, and he's produced better in those RBI opportunities.
You just need production no matter where it comes from. I mean, with the inconsistencies at the top of your lineup, there's been a need for him to hit higher because of the less than starts to several guys that you were counting on.
Yeah, I think that – I don't mind him there. I think that your way is fine, too. Like, again, mostly with batting orders, I am largely do not care. I think there's 100 different ways to cook the egg. There's 100 different ways to get a winning offense out there in terms of batting order construction. There's some times where, hey, you know, fill it out a little bit. Does Bregman need to get going? Yes, he absolutely does, and you need Bregman to be good, so give him a little bit of Yordan protection. Now, I don't love Yordan in the three spot. Now, I know you've won a lot of games with Yordan in the three spot, so who am I to say? I don't like best hitters in the three hole because there's no other spot in the lineup that bats more often with two outs, nobody on, and I don't like that for my best hitter, that he's batting more than anybody with two outs, nobody on. Of course, I've been on my high horse about Abreu today. If you're going to play, if he's going to be on the roster, you play him after he hits the ball hard a couple
Joe's
times.
Joe's just being progressive. He's moved Pena
been anti-progressive.
He's moved Pena up.
He's been up there all year. Brian, that was Bryant. Brian was a bad take on that one, quite frankly. He's been six or higher for each of the last six games and like 10 of the last 12, something like that. No Dubon's kind of questionable. All right, here's what we were going to discuss. Speaking of the Astros front office, which I think Jim Crane's playing general manager, they've lost some respect from baseball executives. Here was the Athletic. They put together a list of 40 executives who've either been in Major League Baseball, they're currently in Major League Baseball, a variety of baseball executives. And they polled these 40 execs about different various questions about, you know, front offices around Major League Baseball. They voted on these. I think they did it from like first place to fifth place. And then you did your little MVP voting type of thing. The top voters, front office report cards, they called it. The top point getters, top vote getters, Dodgers were one, Rays were second, Braves were third. If you were ranking the current Astros front office relative to the rest of Major League Baseball, where would you have the Astros?
I mean, right now, it's hard to have them in the top half of the league. I would say 17, 18.
They had them in the top half of the league, but they had them at 13. And I think some of this is reputation. I think some of this is because of their winning. Dodgers, Rays, Braves, Guards, Orioles, Brewers, Diamondbacks, Rangers, Twins, Yankees, Phillies, even the Mariners all graded out better than the Houston Astros according to these results. Now, I do think that there's some, like, holder-ons here. Like, well, the Astros are going to get marks because they're still winning baseball games, even though you can look at the line of demarcation when you moved along from Click, and then you've had two bad off seasons since then. Where would the Astros have been under Click? Where would the Astros have been under Luno? Under Luno, they were probably number one, and if they weren't one, it was because there's a bunch of Luno haters out there.
Yeah. Luno is definitely top three. Click, I would say top 10.
I would even go as far to say top five.
and I'm not going to argue much.
So top three will split the difference, top seven. So you've went from having, and I think top three might be low for Luno, but he did have a lot of anti-Luno bias. Luno was not very well received around Major League Baseball. They thought he was arrogant, didn't really fit in with the club, etc.
Depending on when you did the survey, too, with what happened with Taubman, yep. with what happened with Osuna, those were things that probably took him down a notch or two.
So they went from a top three front office, move along to a top seven front office under Click, to where now they're holding on to a top 13 front office, barely halfway around Major League. This isn't us. Like, you had them 17. I would have them roughly around 15. I think 13's fine. But you have real baseball people that have the Astros at 13. It's dire. It's dire. Your front office has moved in the opposite direction. Luno to Click to now Crane. And Click was fine. I'd be perfectly okay if James Click was still the general manager of this team. I'm not okay with Jim Crane and his older parliament that are making the decisions.
Look, let's just be honest, because of the fact that this is what you needed to hear. This is what they need to see. Whether it resonates and does anything, we don't know. But these are the guys that are picking up the phone on a daily basis. These are guys that are conversing and understanding behind the scenes that we don't, in terms of who's making decisions, if a deal is being discussed, if there's something where, you know, there are multiple teams in some kind of a discussion, that you can figure out real quick how the hierarchy and chain of command is going, who's making the decisions. If they've got to wait to get answers, if they've got to, you know, check with certain people, then you know that they don't have the autonomy to make the call themselves. Then you start to realize, hey, this is starting to be a bleep show. This is like too many cooks in the kitchen, and it's going to start trickling out. And this is probably the first of what isn't going to be the last of reports coming out about the chain of command and how Jim Crane is running things.
Yeah, it's it scares me.
Look, we had how many? This is, let's take you back to when Click exited, right? There were a lot of baseball executives. There were a lot of baseball writers. There were Keith Law at top of the list. But everybody coming to the defense of James Click, saying he's a really smart, really good, really savvy business baseball man that is going to be back sooner rather than later as the general manager. And he basically got screwed over because of a personality conflict with the owner. And that's what eventually came out. Don't think for a minute that you don't know when it's going to come out, but this is the sign of things that may be coming out for both Dana Brown and for Joe Espada because of this meddling owner that probably is dipping his hands into too much too often, and now it's actually having an adverse effect on the results on the field.
You know who would push back on it too? Dusty would push back.
Sure,
on
he would.
It.
He had enough skins in the game to stand up for whatever he believed in. That's why when Dana alluded to, after Dusty was gone, the fact that it wasn't always completely harmonious, because Dusty would stick up for his opinion.
And then the secondary point there, and I'm not saying this is the case, I don't want anybody to put words in my mouth, is Espada a puppet?
I think they both are.
I kind of do too.
I'm not afraid to say that.
Make you unanimous. I mean, I think I said that a segment or two ago. I think we've kind of been banging that drum.
We've been banging it for a while, but I mean,
for
this is
a couple weeks now.
We just,
the Jerry Jones aspect of Jim Crane has really been showing.
And a lot of times it takes you a while to realize there are cracks. Like, whenever you still have a good roster, you can sustain winning for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Like, Jerry Jones kept winning a little bit when he fired, you know, moved along from Jimmy Johnson.
Johnny Buss, but when they moved on from Jerry West. Yeah. The Lakers were so damn good for a while, you couldn't tell how bad he was.
It's like it's a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. It's a ripple effect. It takes a while for those cracks to really show its face. I think we're starting to see the cracks, and I think that what started the crack was letting James Click go. Because you've had two terrible offseasons in a row. And look, some of those moves we liked. Like, we were holding out hope for Jose Abreu to be good. And some of, like, the baseball savant numbers were you know, good for Abreu. Like, he wouldn't hit the home runs, but he still had a good, you know, hard hit rate. Exit velo was still good. So it's like, hey, he's still fine. And it wasn't still fine. But two bad offseasons in a row. Whether, you know, hindsight 2020, are we sitting in hindsight? Yeah, we are. But they've had two bad offseasons. Two bad offseasons in a row since they moved on from a general manager who helped guide them to a World Series.
Yeah, there's checklists. There's receipts. There's people that are holding them on a daily basis, and starting off with the big three, because the big three moves went once Click exited and Jim Crane was in control are ones that are going to live in infamy in Astros history. And you hope that there's a way to escape them and make them better. Brantley did his best to at least salvage something from a completely lost season when you were told he was going to be back for opening day, and you kept holding and crossing your fingers throughout the season to say, we could use him here. We really need him here. We even got to the point where saying, even if he's a pinch hitter late in the season, get something out of him to where when he came back, he had his moments, he did some things, but it wasn't the way that was supposed to go. But then the overspending on the Montero deal and the overspending on the worst deal that he ever could have made in Abreu, they aren't going on anywhere, and they aren't going away anytime soon.
No, 11.5 on Montero, who's been good, but he's not an $11.5 million pitcher. And I tried to stand for that. I was dumb. Jose Abreu, 19.5. Brantley, what was it, 8, 9, 10 million? He's fine when he played, but he played like 20 games.
I want to say, didn't he get over 10?
Maybe. I thought his previous deal was 12, and I thought his second deal was 8, but I could be wrong.
It's close.
And then this year, 19 on Hader, when you could have kind of spread the wealth on that a little bit, and then you didn't look at some of the other holes and weaknesses that you have and address those. And here's the irony about all this. 7-4-2-8, Jim Crane is starting to act like the Jerry Jones of baseball. 9-6-9-5, I'm a Cowboys fan, and Crane is starting to remind me a lot of Jerry Jones.
No,
he moved on for people who push back like Jerry did Jimmy. That's Corey. You know who said this at the time? Keith Law said this at the time. Keith Law also said Hunter Brown's probably a reliever at the time. You know what the Houston Astros fans did to Keith Law and certain hosts did to Keith Law? They acted like he was the biggest moron in the world. Turns out he was right.
Right now, until further notice, there's nothing that's pointing to anything that shows that Keith Law was wrong on either front. Because Keith Law, he came in pretty hot, coming in hot and fast on the fact that he was defending James Click. He knew James Click. He knew what James Click was all about. He knew he wasn't who the organization was painting him out to be, or the owner was trying to paint the picture of what happened. It's now coming out the same way with some of the other moves where you start saying, hey, look, you don't want Dan Snyder. You don't want a guy that comes in on draft day after you've done all this work. And they've even said the funny thing in Indianapolis this year is Irsay's got that reputation, but because of his health issues lately, he won't be in the draft room this year. And maybe everybody was celebrating going, maybe Chris Ballard can do his job. You don't want a situation where the owner takes it too far. I know that Les Alexander was always in the draft room. Les Alexander's main point of contention was leave it in the hands of capable people to make them the best basketball team they could be, and he'll worry about the finances. If you could justify the finances that are going to be involved in the deal, then he wanted to do whatever made the team better. But he wasn't going to be the guy that came in as the smartest guy in the room and told the talent evaluators after they did 6 months of work, no, we're drafting this guy because I said so.
Scary. 713-780-ESPN. Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy back after 14 years. The 2005 Heisman Trophy has his trophy back. What are sports things that you want back? 713-780-3776. What sports things do you want back? Like Reggie got that Heisman back. 713-780-3776. Something that you should want back are smooth roads. If you have a road or you have a parking lot, whatever the case may be, smooth roads are the way to go. You want that back, but you can't have that back because these potholes are getting in the way. We talk about pet peeves on this show all the time. You know what one of my biggest pet peeves is? Potholes, can't stand them. That's why I love Third Rock Renewable, and they're on a campaign to fix potholes for good. We've all been there. Pothole pops up, throw some money at it to fix it, and it turns out that it's just a temporary fix, a Band-Aid. That annoying pothole pops up again in a few weeks or a few months. Change that and get in touch with Third Rock Renewable today. Third Rock Renewable has patented technology called mechanical concrete. It turns these old end-of-life tires into an indestructible building product. It's the only low-cost industrial strength sustainable in the market, sustainable base. This mechanical concrete will fix these potholes for good, and we can eliminate one pet peeve from our life. Doesn't that sound good? Well, visit them online at thirdrockrenewables.com or call Third Rock Renewables right now, 713-305-0507, 713-305-0507, and fix these potholes for good.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. 713-780-ESPN. Reggie Bush has his Heisman back. How much do you care about Reggie Bush having his Heisman back?
I always felt like he earned that Heisman trophy.
Sure.
I always felt like
Of course he did.
You know, that season was so fun to watch. He was must-see TV. I know the Texans fans were – that was a huge debate with the number one pick. I always felt like he got kind of screwed over during the whole process. So, but at the end of the day, once it's done, I figured it's irreversible. I didn't think the NCAA would go back – or the Heisman would go back and do this, probably whether they talked the NCAA or not. But so be it. I think he earned it.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN. Reggie got his Heisman back. What are sports things that you want back? Now, interesting to go back to that year. If they voted on the Heisman after the national championship game, probably V-wise. But it's a regular season award. I have no issue with Reggie Bush winning the Heisman. And Vince Young's probably...
The fact that Leinart was at that ceremony.
Yeah.
Boy, for the talent he was in college, he was brutal as a pro.
Vince Young's probably one of my top three favorite quarterbacks collegiately all time. Case Keenum, greatest statistical quarterback ever, number one. Tebow's in the mix, and then Vince Young's. I'd probably have Vince Young ahead of Tebow, though. Tebow would probably be third. Vince Young would probably be second. Vince Young's my second favorite high school quarterback of all time, behind Odell James. So I love Vince Young. Love Vince Young. Didn't love him as a pro. Love Vince Young in high school. Love Vince Young in college. Shout out Madison Marlins. So I love VY. But Reggie Bush, like, you should have had the
Who the hell's Odell James?
Played at MacArthur way back in the day. He was Vince Young before Vince Young.
Okay.
Stud. Tore up his knee his senior year. Never really. He went to Baylor. Probably should have went to Nebraska where they ran triple option. That would have suited him better.
That was the Osborne era?
I think he's the head coach at Eisenhower now. I think I remember reading that recently. I think he went from Baylor to be the head coach at Eisenhower. But yeah, great, great high school quarterback. MacArthur General, shout out. Anyways, I got off sidetrack here.
Well, I was just questioning because I didn't recognize the name.
Was it the Heisman or the NCAA they gave back? Is the Heisman Trust or whatever?
It was the Heisman Trust.
Heisman Trust did
it was their
it, but
decision.
I think there was a discussion.
It was their decision.
What are they? They're just going to disagree, and they're just going to put away all their values? Like, I'm going to have these values to take away your trophy, but now I'm going to give it back to you. Like, have some values. Stand on it. Stay with your chest. I'm kidding.
What drives me crazy about it, and I'm completely for Reggie getting, I thought the idea of him turning over the Heisman was ridiculous, you know, when it happened however many years ago it was. But I remember reading an article about it just a couple months ago, and they were talking about it's the Heisman Trust decision to do it, but they didn't see any when the Heisman guys were giving their reason as to why they've kept this ban in place for Reggie Bush this whole time. They basically said they wanted to see proof that, you know, whatever happened didn't happen, like nothing's changed with the evidence, so they don't see any reason.
He got money to buy his parents a house,
yeah.
I believe.
but which is just weird because what I read a few months ago, everything they said, they just basically went completely back on with no reason. I'm glad they did because it was ridiculous and stupid, but it feels weird to just suddenly reverse course with no additional information.
Well, you know what it is? It's almost the fact that what's going on now in college football has justified what was going on back then. But, oh, by the way, back then, if they were found guilty and they actually did it, it was illegal.
Yeah. So what do you want? What do you want back? As we segue to the real meat of this, because who cares about Reggie Bush's happiness?
I don't care about Reggie Bush. Say we want the Astros mojo back.
That's a good call.
And they're starting pitching.
Yeah, I don't really care about Reggie Bush's happiness. If he's happy about the Heisman Trophy, I'm happy that he's happy. I don't care too much. Sorry. Astros happiness is a good one. If I'm going non-Astros, and that's right up there for me. If I'm going local, if I'm going national. Tiger Woods in his prime would be a lot of fun this day and age. See, he's competing in every single major.
Is Tiger Woods' health back?
At this stage of it, like, he needs a little bit of Fountain of Youth, I think, too. Like, health and Fountain of Youth combined, I think, gets there. One of the other things for me, really high-level boxing. Really high-level boxing.
Oh, yeah.
Grew up on boxing. Julio Cesar Chavez on one side of the family. Mike Tyson on the other side of the family. But even, like, you go back to your day, like Sonny Liston and Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier.
I don't know why you didn't go back further.
Rocky Marciano.
Joe Lewis was unbelievable.
Smoking Joe. Like, I would love – and, like, I like UFC. I like MMA. I'm probably a casual there, admittedly. I only watch, like, the big fights and maybe even only, like, the co-main event and the main event of the big fights and the big cards. So I'm definitely a UFC casual. I like it, but I don't love it as much as I used to love boxing. Like, give me the good, high-level, sweet science back.
Just think about you can go all the way back when you start – you know, talking about Sugar Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns and Roberto Duran and boxing, there was room for another sport to have popularity. But UFC has completely trounced and drowned out boxing to where boxing used to be a dominant must-see TV event. And now it's an afterthought and then some to where it's not really you know, relevant, even close to where it was previously when you had all the big names and all the hype train around all these fights.
What do you want back, Brian?
I went actually quite a bit off the field. My first thing was some of the classic uniforms that have been taken away that I prefer to the current uniforms. Especially, I mean, one of the NFL teams that came up with the new uniforms this offseason was the Broncos, and I absolutely hate their old. Their new uniforms, but I love the old logo with the big,
the big
letter D
with the
horse coming through that John Elway used to wear.
Pause.
I thought you might be strictly. All right. I'm just going to breeze right past that. Oh, but there's a few others. I like the old Nuggets uniforms that had like the city skyline.
The rainbow?
On the front of the uniform. The old Patriots with the Patriot Pat logo.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. And then the like going even further back, the old Bills uniforms where they had the big red buffalo like on the side. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just a lot of the old uniforms I prefer to what we have today.
I think from a health perspective, it's easy to say, well, locally, you wish you had Chris Paul's hamstring back. Nationally, I would have loved to have seen Bo Jackson's hip never give out.
Oh, that's a good call.
Because Bo Jackson was unfreaking believable, and everything he did in two different sports was must-see TV.
Right. Bo Jackson was like, I think he was ahead of his time in baseball specifically, because he was a high strikeout guy, big power, which like suits this day and age better than it suited that day and age. I liked him more as a running back than a baseball player. And he played football secondary to baseball. So, like, maybe throwing the hip and then maybe football primary, baseball secondary.
I just, you know, and if you watch that 30 for 32, it's become superhero status on some of the stories that are told when he played. But when you just look at what he did and how he went about it, I think the greatest play in baseball wasn't anything with his bat. I think the fact that he threw Harold Reynolds out on the fly from the warning track in Seattle at home plate, and there's video to prove it, and Harold Reynolds to this day has no freaking idea how he could throw that ball that far on a fly and get him out at the plate. Just shows you what a freak of an athlete.
There was also the video of where he's in the outfield and he's running full speed. He has to like run up sideways on the wall.
Yes, he defies gravity
and crashing into it.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was one of the coolest things. He runs up at the wall. There's a horseshoe on the wall. That was, I don't know.
He took Russell deep in the All-Star game and it was a rocket shot.
Yeah, he grooved a fastball for him,
though. But then in football, you think about the – no one could catch him on the sidelines on that Monday night football game. And then he ran over Bosworth.
Oh, yeah.
He completely just Mack trucked Bosworth.
Up the tunnel, too. Yeah. He had the walk-off touchdown up the tunnel.
Yeah, that's the one where he was – no one could catch him. He blazed and just kept going.
That was – okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Reggie got his Heisman back. What do you want back in sports? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You found the Killer Bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What do you want back in sports now that Reggie has his Heisman back? Honey Glaze Branham, my favorite high school quarterback was Russell Shepard. Went to middle school with him, then went to Ridge, me, Jersey Village. We beat him freshman year, and he was sore. Refused to talk to people on our team he knew from middle school. Great highlight tape. I don't know if he's bashing Russell Shepard or not. He's my favorite. But
doesn't sound like he likes him a whole lot.
I want to say he went to LSU as a receiver?
I think he started off as a quarterback but got transitioned.
I called some Russell Shepard football games as I was coming up in the business at Old Pridgen Stadium there in Cy-Fair. 713-780-3776. Someone said mound visits from Carlos Correa.
That's pretty good.
You laugh, but I saw people tweeting out videos of Carlos Correa. I think he was yelling at Fromber. People were posting videos of these of Correa mound visits with Fromber.
I'm not laughing. Like, this was a phenomenon.
I know, but it's still today. This was as of like 2 days ago. People were tweeting these videos out and saying, this is what's missing for the Houston Astros right now. Like, God, guys, come on.
Yeah, they won a World Series the next year. I mean, that was a take from some people. The Astros will never recover from the leadership loss of Carlos Correa. Oh, they won a World Series the very next year. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Austin, what do you want back?
Hey, guys. So I got two of them. Locally, I want the 2019 World Series, the end of that game, end of Game 7 back.
Yeah.
I want it back. I think everyone can kind of agree to that, but I just want to be able to just get that 2019 World Series back. We should have won it, especially in my household.
wife's family's from D.C., so I was hearing it from them just constant, man, especially it was inside my house. We were watching it. Just, oh, man, it was just terrible. Nationally, I want to see old-school just ESPN back, as in just, you know, their shows, content, and everything. I'm just, it's just, it's not, you can't watch it anymore, right? I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Stuart Scott, you know, Chris Berman, you know, I just, you know, I guess nostalgic-wise, I just miss the old ESPN personalities from back in the day.
Appreciate it, Austin. Yeah, someone just texted in old ESPN commercials. Old ESPN was awesome.
Oh, yeah, they got, awesome. They caught the whole 30 for 30 type bug and went too far. The main reason why you always went to was ESPN was instant SportsCenter, instant highlights, instant updates on scores. Mm. And the 30 for 30s are good, but then they just went too far. And they extended them. They overextended themselves with a lot of the conference contracts and things like that, too. Yeah. And they got away from what made them who they were.
They have brought back some of the This Is ESPN commercials, which I credit them for. Because those commercials back in the day were fantastic.
A lot of it, too, is the saturation of the market. You know what I mean?
Like FS1's trying to do it.
And it's just you have 1,000 channels. Yeah. There's so many different ways to like get your entertainment. A lot of people, like kids nowadays, they're not even watching TV. They're watching YouTubes and TikToks. Right. Like it's the entertainment is a hard.
Yeah, TV's dying.
Well, the competition, you're right. Because it used to be, I said, if you wanted to highlight a score and update, there was only one place to go. It's ESPN.
Yeah.
Now, if SportsCenter's not on, there's a million different channels that have their version of SportsCenter and everybody's got a ticker.
Yep. If television killed the radio star, what killed the TV star?
The Buggles.
Internet.
The Buggles.
The Buggles made the video of the first song ever played, which is Video Killed the Radio.
Are they still alive to kill television?
That was the first video ever played on MTV.
Was it really?
Yeah.
So, okay. I appreciate the
knowledge.
The knowledge there. That was a good knowledge flex. I appreciate a good knowledge flex. But I don't think they're around to kill television.
No.
So who's killing the TV star? The internet? The internet killed the TV star?
Yeah, the internet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can go with that. Plus, they're probably just posting the stuff that's on television on the internet.
Yeah, you can find clips on, like, especially with highlights. You find clips from all, you know, if there's a great home run, MLB's tweeting it out. You don't have to go to ESPN.
That's true.
What I thought was funny last night was when the Texans did their big reveal after it had already been revealed. One, the internet already had revealed it. And two, Channel 2 went live from 6:30 to 7, which back in the day when the Texans were first being announced with their logo and the logo unveiling, that would have been massive must-see television. Everybody that wanted to see it saw it on their phone.
3726. I wish I could have the Blitz back. Don't tell that to us. Don't tell it to us, although it's in my cap. It's a good one. 713-780-3776. Local sports talk radio is as close as you can get to old ESPN. I don't know if I see the similarities there. Do you see similarities there?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't really
current
see similarities
topical
there either.
On the day that is in sports.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so. A lot of people saying, I want the Mike Fiers trade back. You would have had Josh
Hader cheaper.
You would not. I mean,
you would have been robbed of Carlos Gomez running into someone's butt, though.
I hated Carlos Gomez. Could not stand Carlos Gomez. That guy's reaction to fly balls in center field might have been the slowest reactions ever for a center fielder. He would turn routine pop flies into bloop singles.
But that's part of the reason why he made these catches that made SportsCenter was because of the fact that he misplayed a lot of them
reel.
And then made it into a highlight reel when he ended up catching.
Carlos Gomez. I wanted him to go away.
You talk about Jake Myers. That dude on every swing couldn't keep his helmet on. Oh, he was showboating every play.
Constantly falling down.
I was excited for that trade, too.
I was, too.
Like, and then I watched Carlos Gomez play 10 games. I'm like, okay.
Because
I
he came
not
from
like
Milwaukee,
this guy.
And everybody back home in Milwaukee was like, oh, my God, he's going to be the difference maker for you guys. He's going to be phenomenal. And he stunk.
He walked so Jose Abreu could run. I want old NFL rules where wide receivers were getting leveled in the middle of the field. Amen. I love me some physicalness when it comes to sports.
We mentioned Astros center field. I might be alone on this. Although I think, Jeremy, actually, you were with me before. I think it was you. Maybe it was someone else. But I want Taus Hill in the flagpole back.
Having it back might be a bit of a stretch.
I loved, it was unique.
It was gimmicky
until someone blew out a knee.
Yeah, I don't care about
it. But who blew out a knee?
No, I said it would be until somebody
would.
Yeah,
but that was the point. It was here for 20 years. No one blew out a knee.
You're a helicopter sports fan.
What do you mean?
You're a helicopter sports fan. You're always worried about somebody getting hurt. You're worried about the manicured infield being too saturated.
I just thought it was too gimmicky. It was like amusement park.
It was gimmicky,
but it was based upon ballparks.
I think it's a fair
Who
take.
Got robbed? Wasn't it Richie Sexton that hit the bomb?
Hit the flagpole
in play.
I was actually at that game the entire time. He's yelling at the umpires. He's making signals. He ends up with a triple because there's just mass confusion going on. But, yeah, it was pretty crazy.
I like Taos Hill. I'm not sure that I'm clamoring it. You know, for it to be back.
I did like it.
Berkman had the best catch ever on it.
Yeah, he ran up and over his shoulder.
Jim Edmonds had one too, I want to say.
Well, Beltran was the best at it. Carlos Beltran made it look like nothing was happening.
Yeah. Beltran made a whole.
I think Berkman probably made the best
half
catch.
The season
on it,
look like everything was the easiest thing in the world.
And the worst was Craig Biggio.
Yeah, he should have never been in
that one year that he was out in center field.
Let's turn this 36-year-old second baseman into a center fielder. What a brilliant idea. Like, that would be the equivalent to that would be, hey, Jake Myers, you're struggling. Mauricio Dubon, you're going to go play first base. Jose Altuve, why don't you go roam center field at Minute Maid Park? That's the equivalent. And I'm being serious. Like, I know Biggio played some outfield coming up. All right, 713-780. There's a lot of these.
Ralph Sampson's knees.
It's a good call. Although I wanted Ralph traded to Portland. I wanted to trade Ralph to Portland.
For the pick for MJ?
For the second pick of the, what was it, 84?
There's that one article that was written a couple years ago about how it would have been possible and the Rockets could have had both Jordan and Clyde with a king.
You could have drafted Clyde.
Right.
Well, I think there's two scenarios for that. You could have either drafted Clyde in 83, but you went Rodney McRae at a Louisville, and then you could have just drafted Akeem and then traded Ralph to Portland, because I think they would have done that.
There was some other way that Jordan, that three pick, could have fallen to them.
Well, I think you could have also, the next year, traded Sampson for Clyde and the second pick.
Okay.
So I think that's another scenario of how it could have happened. I want the 83 and 84 drafts back. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What do you want back in sports? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I don't need a good HR company back because we already have one. HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar, owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. He used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner, as you know, and now he's protecting your business. He's been doing it for almost three decades now. Business owners, let HR&P help you, whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&P can help in any or all of these facets. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. If you have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little off your plate, HR&P will find a way to help, and they do it in a way that is unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that, but you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and your business needs. Give them a call now, 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.